Good morning, brethren. The person you are hearing his voice again today is called Brother Christian Uzuku, a missionary pastor from Northern Uganda, East Africa. Today, this morning, we are going to study a few things concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, I would like us to have a word of prayer. Precious Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for the privilege you have given to us to come again around the Word of God, to have, oh God, a spiritual food that you have prepared for your children in due season. We pray that you release the Holy Spirit to speak to us at this moment, to open our eyes, that we will see what you want us to see as we progress in the unveiling of the Word of God. Thank you, wonderful Jesus, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This morning, I would like us to look into the Bible, to read in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 6 to 7. The book of Luke, chapter 24, from verse 6 to 7. I read. He said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember, no, he spoke unto you when he was yet in the Galilee," verse 7, "saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and to be crucified, and the third day he shall rise again." Praise the Lord. But in the third day, he shall rise again. I want to repeat that particular place I read in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 6 to 7. He said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, he will rise again." Now, let us also look at the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, before we come up with our topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept." But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Praise the Lord. So I want to caption our sharing the topic this morning that says, "Remembering his resurrection, a call to victory and the separation." Remembering his resurrection, a call to victory and separation. So we have read concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples went to the grave side of Christ early in the morning on Sunday, and the angels of the Lord spoke to the disciples and said that he is risen and that he is no more here, that they should remember what the Lord told them before he was crucified, that in the third day that he is going to rise. Praise the Lord. So we are going to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all the things that are surrounded concerning his resurrection, and his resurrection is also a fulfillment of prophecy. It's not something that just happened at randomly. It happened according to the prophetical analysis which the Bible had already given concerning his death, resurrection, and his death, burial, and the resurrection. So everything fulfilled to the letter. Now let's look at the book of Psalm 16, verse 10. The book of Psalm 16, verse 10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." So if Christ had seen corruption, there would be no resurrection. See what the Bible says in that Psalm 16, verse 10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." So Christ is the Holy One. So this is the prophetical statement that was projected concerning the coming of Christ, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. So if Christ had seen corruption, there would be no resurrection. If the body of Christ had seen corruption, there would be no resurrection. There would be no salvation. There would be no hope for us. Satan's power would still hold mankind. The power of Satan, the power of death, would have still hold mankind captive. So mankind would have been into the captive of the enemy up to now. But his resurrection granted us victory over death. So his victory over death confirms his sinlessness. His victory over death, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death, the victory of his resurrection over death confirms his sinlessness, his sinless nature. His resurrection confirms his sinless nature, confirms his divinity, confirms that he is qualified to be our redemptive lamb. That the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ proves that he is qualified to be the redemptive lamb of God. And that's what he really did. So if we look at, again, another prophetical reference concerning the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can see that in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17, and Matthew, chapter 12, verse 40, where the Bible was making reference, especially in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 40. It said, "As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 days, so would the Son of Man be in the heart of the flesh." As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Praise God. So these prophetical symbols pointed towards Christ's resurrection as a divine guarantee that death has lost its grip upon mankind. So all this prophetical analysis shows that there'll be a time when the Lamb of God will manifest, and he will die, he will be buried, and he will resurrect. He will overcome, he will have victory over sin, he will have victory over death. And that confirms that this particular Lamb of God is sinless, that this particular Lamb of God has his divinity. It reveals the divinity of Jesus Christ, that this particular Lamb is qualified to be the redemptive Lamb of God. So all these things has been into prophecies, and Christ came to fulfill prophecy. Praise the Lord. So resurrection is a symbol of victory. Resurrection is not just trying to resurrect. The resurrection showed us that Christ has given us victory in every areas of life, in all ramifications of life. Victory has been given to man. Praise God. So let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 54 to 57. You will also find out there the Bible made us to understand that death is swallowed up in victory. That death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death was swallowed. When Jesus resurrected, he swallowed up death. Death has been a threat to mankind since the time man fell from the Garden of Eden. Death has been a threat to mankind. But when Jesus emerged, so he was the only Lamb of God. He was only a person or divinity or the qualified redemptive Lamb of God that was able to swallow death. So he swallowed the power of death. He rubbished death and gave us victory. Therefore, so death that normally became a threat to mankind was no more a threat to those who are found in Christ Jesus. So the resurrection was not just a retreat. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was not just a retreat, but it is a heavenly invasion and the conquest. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was not just a retreat, but it is a heavenly invasion and the conquest. So devil's threat, which is the tools which devil used to threaten mankind, which is death, which is fear, which is sin, and which is and the condemnations, all these things were the tools which devil used to threaten mankind, to suppress mankind, to make mankind know that you don't have power. But all these things the devil used as a tool to suppress, to weaken man, we are all defeated on the resurrection morning. So that is the beauty thing that we discovered when Jesus was resurrected. So all the tools which empowers devil to threaten mankind, we are all defeated in that particular resurrection morning. That was great. That was a great news for mankind. Praise the Lord. And that's why we found out in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Praise God. Look at that scripture again carefully. Colossians chapter 2, 15. It says, "And having spoiled principalities and power." So Jesus, spoiled principalities and power. Well, these principalities and power are the powers of darkness, are the troop that are walking alongside with Satan, that are strategizing with devil himself, that are strategizing with the fallen archangel. Oh, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ spoiled all the strategic plans, all the evil tactics of the enemy, evil tactics of the principalities and power, all were spoiled. He made a show of them openly. The Bible says he made a show. It was not done in the secret. It was done in the open place, triumphing over them in it. Praise the Lord. So let us look at the word in the Bible used there in Colossians. He said he spoiled, having spoiled principalities and power. What is the Greek word for the word spoil? So if we look in the Greek word for the word spoil, the word spoil in the Greek word is called apekdomai. The word spoil in the Greek word is called apekdomai, which means to strip off. So that Jesus Christ strip off all the things devil heard against man, starting from Eden. Jesus Christ strip them off from devil. Another meaning for that word spoil in the Greek word, as it is called apekdomai, it is simply means to disarm. So Jesus disarmed. It's like all the weapons of the devil was taken away from him. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ disarmed the devil. So Jesus disarmed the satanic evil hierarchies. So Jesus, the resurrection, a lot was done in that resurrection morning. I want us to get into the spirit to really understand what the resurrection of Jesus Christ had done to mankind. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ disarmed the satanic evil hierarchies, all the satanic evil hierarchies. That's what the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says he spoiled principalities. It's in plurals. It's in plurals, not one, not two, not it is many. It says he spoiled principalities and the power. So all the entities, all their powers, all were disarmed that early morning when our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see how does the apostles celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does the apostles celebrate? Now we have seen the reason of the of the resurrection and the power that man had recovered immediately Christ resurrected that particular morning when Jesus stripped off all the powers away from devil, when he disarmed them, when he pushed away all the satanic evil hierarchies. He recovered all the power and he handed it over to man that morning, that resurrection morning. Then when the apostles discover this miraculous resurrection, then they began to celebrate. So let's look at the scripture to confirm how the apostles in the New Testament celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The early church celebrated the resurrection every first day of the week. The early church, the apostles, those who followed Jesus Christ, the disciples, they celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ every first day of the week. Every first day of the week. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," listen, he said, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break the bread. So now look at again in the 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Paul encourages giving. In that particular scripture, we find out that Paul encourages giving and gathering on the first day. He encourages giving thanksgiving, giving offerings, or whatever you can give to the Lord. You do that on the first day of the week. When the disciples, when the saints will gather, not as a legal tradition. It is not a legal tradition, but it is as a celebration of victory concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is from this particular days of gathering that made us today, we believers in Christ Jesus, to be gathering every first day of the week, what we call today our Sunday services. So we are not gathering on Sunday to worship the Lord because we are trying to fulfill the Sabbath. No, we are not trying to fulfill the Sabbath because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. So when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you have entered into the real Sabbath. So the real Sabbath is to the ability to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the days of our fellowship happens to be the first day of the week. What do we do? Why do the apostles choose that day? Because that was the day of the resurrection. What did they do? So they use it to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first day of the week was the appropriate day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why did not apostles celebrate Easter? Why did they not celebrate Easter? But they were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is Easter? How come about the word Easter? So if we look at the word Easter, as we see today, we are hearing today, it has become common. Even believers that are mentioning Easter, even those in the message of the hour, we also use the same word. It has become a family name. It has become an acceptable name among the Christendoms. But this word, the Easter, which we are celebrating today, was not known in the days of the apostles. The word Easter was not known in the days of the apostles because the word Easter itself is not a godly name. The name Easter, it was the Babylonian goddess of fertility. The word Easter, that particular word or the name, that particular name we are used to. In our Christendom, we say we are celebrating Easter, or even in this season, people are preparing to celebrate Easter this weekend, or this week is the week of Easter celebration. So let's really understand what this Easter is all about. So this particular Easter was not known by the apostles. was not known by the disciples. It wasn't known. So Easter was the Babylonian goddess of fertility. Easter was the Babylonian goddess of fertility. What does that mean? So Easter, as you normally hear it today, is a name of a demon goddess. I want it to sink in your brain. The word Easter you are hearing today is a name of a demon goddess. That the owner of that name is a demon goddess of fertility that is often worshipped with sexual immoralities, sunrise rituals. Anytime sun rises, they will do some sacrifice or to appease the sun, because they believe that the rising of the sun is the rising of this demon goddess of fertility. Praise God. And it is always being worshipped with egg symbols, with the symbol of egg, with the symbol of egg. So because it has to do, that symbol of egg represents fertility. Praise the Lord. Because they believe that this is the goddess of fertility. So the more they worship this god, this goddess, then it will help them, it will help their crops to grow, and their farm will be able to be productive. So that is the idea of them worshiping this goddess of fertility. Praise God. So the word Easter only appears in the Acts of Apostles chapter 12 verse 4 in the Old King James Version. The word Easter only appears in Acts chapter 12 verse 4 in Old King James Version. But I want to let you know that this particular word was not found in the original script. So it is a mistranslation of Pascha. Pascha. Pascha, that is a Greek word for Passover. So Pascha. So the original word that is there in the original script, in the scroll, is called Pascha, which means Passover. So there is no way Passover is the same with the word Easter. So it was not the same. So Easter was not found in that original Bible, in that original scroll. What is found there is Pascha, that is a Greek word for Passover. So and this Pascha is not a pagan festival. It is a Jewish Passover festival, or a Jewish Passover celebration from deliverance from death. So it has nothing to do with Easter. So, but in the old translation of King James in 16th century, it was adopted and incorporated in the translation. But in the original translation or other translation that came earlier before 16th century, none of them had the translation of the word Easter. All translation there bears Passover. As we proceed, we're going to review some of the translations, how it was being translated in some of the biblical translations, to enable us to understand the point we are trying to make. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 12, verse 4 in the King James Version, is the only place in the entire Bible where the word Easter appears. And it is a mistranslation, as I'd already said, of the original Greek word Pascha, which means Passover, not Easter. Praise God. So if we look at this theological problem with the word Easter, so we found out that Easter is not the same word as Passover. Easter is not the same word as Passover. So the Jews had no knowledge of anything about Easter. So they are not into the celebration of Easter. It's not part of their celebrations. Praise the Lord. So Passover is a God-ordained feast. Passover is God-ordained feast. We saw that in the book of Exodus chapter 12. So Easter has root in the worship of Ishtar. Easter, we know today, has root in the worship of this pagan goddess of fertility and the spring during the period of equinox. So this particular Easter that has become too rampant even in the Christendom, has a pagan origin of worshipping this demonic evil goddess of fertility and the spring. Praise the Lord. So introducing Easter into the biblical context or text creates a lot of confusion and distortion of the original narrative of what really happened in that week of celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the implication of our modern day Christianity making use of this Easter here and there? Even in their logos, they will write Easter Convention. They will write Easter Convention. Nobody cares about the real meaning of that word, Easter. It's using the name that is being attributed to goddess of a demon goddess to refer it to the celebration victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pretended that word does not have their meaning anymore. So it's like using a name of a witch, attaching it to the celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ. So most of us will find ignorance about the real meaning of this word Easter. So we still attach it. Even we that are in the message, we still attach that word in our weekend conventions. We say Easter Convention. So why? Because we pretended not to know the real meaning of that word Easter. We keep on using it in our conventions, even when we said that we are not part of Easter celebration, but in our logos, in our bills, everything we are trying to use to campaign about our conventions and all the rest of them, we still attach Easter in it, pretending that we don't understand the real meaning of Easter, or we're trying to say that Easter has something to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is blasphemy. This is compromise. We are pretending that we don't know. So we are missing the original thing with the fake thing. So the Easter as a word has its own demonic evil origin. So how can we, the believers, the bride, still attaching this particular name that has its own demonic evil origin with what we are doing today to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven. Praise the Lord. So what is the implication for believers? That's what another thing we're going to look today. What is the implication of keep on using this name Easter in our conventions, in our programs, in this weekend of celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? So the resurrection of Christ fulfilled the Passover, not Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day, what is really fulfilled biblically, scripturally, is Passover. It's not Easter. So if we want to do right articles or right bills or right signposts about how to celebrate Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with Easter. Easter is totally demonic. That name is, the source is demonic. It's a demon goddess. It has nothing to do with our resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to put it aside and celebrate the resurrection of Christ, which fulfilled our Passover. He is our Passover lamb. That's what the Bible says. So Christ was our Passover lamb. That's what the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. Not our Easter lamb. So the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what if you feel, is the Passover lamb, not our Easter lamb. So for us to be attaching Easter in our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual compromise of what we stand for. We criticize even those who have, God have opened their eyes to come out of the Babylonian system of worship, or the ecumenical movement that the devil had used to blind the denominational world. So even those who are no more in that group, they are still using the word Easter blindly, not pretending not to know the meaning of that word. I don't know when words have started to lose their meaning. I don't know when words have started to lose their meaning. So we need to wake up to understand that Jesus was our Passover lamb. He was not our Easter lamb. Praise the Lord. So Easter's inclusion in the Acts of Apostles chapter 12 verse 4 is not supported by the original manuscript and it reflects a man-made insertion which influenced by pagan syncretisms, So the Easter inclusion in Acts chapter 12 verse 4 is not supported by original manuscript of the Bible, and it reflects a man-made insertion. Man-made tradition was inserted. It was influenced by pagan syncretisms. Praise God. So the word Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, is not part of the original biblical text. So faithful translations maintain Passover. Other translations of the Bible, majority of them, in fact, all of them except Old King James. So faithful translations of the Bible maintain using the word Pascha, which is Passover, to preserve the theological accuracy, So believers must be careful not to equate the holy resurrection of Christ with a pagan festival. So no matter how popular or modernized it may look like, no matter how popular, how modernized, how people will pretend that those words of the word Easter does not has its own meaning anymore, we pretend as if we don't know. So we need to wake up. We believers, we the bride of Jesus Christ, need to wake up to separate holy things from the pagan festivals. We need to wake up to separate these two things. Praise God. Let's also go more deeper on this issue of the Easter and its celebrations and the Passover. Praise God. So we look at God's ordained timeline. Let's look at God's ordained timeline about these celebrations in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. You can write all the scriptures down to your own convenience. You can also review them and read for proper elucidation. So Leviticus chapter 23, God sent out seven feasts. In that place, in the book of Revelation, Leviticus chapter 23, we can see that God set out seven feasts as prophetic pictures of Christ's redemptive work. So when we carefully read Leviticus chapter 23, we will see that God set out seven feasts, seven different feasts, as prophetic pictures of Christ's redemptive work. So there we can see that Passover, was the first feast. Passover was the first feast, which is Pascha, or Pascha, in how you call it in the Greek word, but in the better translation here in the English word is called Passover. All right, so it is the first feast which represents deliverance. So the Passover represents deliverance from death through the blood of the Lamb. It represents deliverance from death through the blood of the Lamb. We saw that again in the book of Exodus chapter 12. So we know with the Bible that Christ is the Passover Lamb. Christ is the Passover Lamb. He's not the Easter Lamb. So let's get this clear. Let it sink in our individual brain that Christ is not the Easter Lamb. All this celebration of Easter, writing Easter in your logo, this Easter convention, this and that. We need to wake up and stop all these things. Christ is our Passover Lamb. He is not our Easter Lamb. So let's get this things right. Praise God. So Paul also wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He said, "For Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us." So he didn't say, "For Christ, our Easter is sacrifice for us." No, he said, "For Christ, our Passover his sacrifice for us. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. So he was sacrificed during the Passover period. That's what the Bible told us in the book of Exodus chapter 12, that this Passover lamb must be killed in Nisan 14. So the Passover lamb must be killed in Nisan 14. Then in Nisan 15, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover with the real celebration day will be done. So that it is. So it has nothing to do with Easter and all that. So we need to wake up and return back fully to the Bible. So we will not tell ourselves that we have returned back to the Bible, yet we are carrying all these pagan symbols around in what we call it, a Passover or celebration of Jesus' resurrection period week. We'll be using the word, the Easter convention and all that. We need to wake up to know that words have never lost its meaning. Let's go back to where the apostles were before the Roman church and others of them spoiled those celebrations for Christians. Praise God. So we found out that Jesus died on Passover period. So he didn't die on Easter period. Jesus did not die on Easter period. He died on Passover period. Go and read the book of Exodus chapter 12. So he told us, he said that lamb, the Passover lamb, will be killed on Nisan 14. Then Nisan 15 becomes the celebration of the unleavened bread, the real celebration of the Passover. So Christ died exactly that particular date. He died exactly that particular date, not on Easter date. It was on Passover period. So we need to wake up. If we are being restored back to the Bible, let's be fully be restored and throw away every pagan words that does not match with the scripture. Praise God. So thereby fulfilling the symbols of spotless Lamb of God. So Christ, Jesus Christ, died on Passover period, thereby fulfilling the symbol of the spotless Lamb slain to save the mankind. Praise God. He was the spotless lamb. He was the Lamb of God that has no stain on him, and he was slain to save mankind. He gave us victory. He died for our sins. He was buried and he was resurrected. So the reason of our celebration is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not Easter. So let us remove this rubbish pagan names in our celebration of the resurrection of our loving Savior. So his death was not a random thing. It was prophetical. So the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, was not a random thing. It was timed exactly to fulfill the Passover. It was timed. That's why the book of Exodus chapter 12 said that the Passover lamb must be killed in Nisan 14. So you can't kill the Passover in Nisan 13. You can't kill the Passover in Nisan 15. It has to be in Nisan 14. That's what Exodus chapter 12 told us. And Jesus exactly was killed in Nisan 14. Then Nisan 15 was the celebration of the Passover, or what in another way around, we call it the celebration of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It was not the celebration of Easter. It has nothing to do with Easter. It was the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's throw away this demonic evil goddess name in the celebration of our lovely Jesus' resurrection. Praise God. So resurrection and the feast of the first fruit was also seen in that same Leviticus I told you to read. You can also get that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 10 to 11. So just after Passover came the feast of the first fruit. After Passover, after celebration of the Passover, remember, Passover is a celebration of deliverance from death. Originally, the essence of celebrating Passover is for deliverance from death. deliverance from death. So when Jesus resurrected, so he becomes the Passover lamb, the original Passover, the fulfillment of the Passover. So he delivered us from death, from the threat of death. So we cannot be threatened anymore by death, because he swallowed. So he swallowed the power of death and gave us victory to live again. So either you die or you live. So death threatens us no more. So, and that is what it is. So in that Leviticus chapter 23, 10 to 11, we see when the first sheaf of the harvest was offered to God. Praise God. So Jesus was the first sheaf, the first fruit from the dead. Praise God. So Jesus rose in the feast of the first fruit. So he was the first fruit. So the Sunday after Passover becoming the first fruit of those who will rise. Praise God. Oh, glory be to Jesus. We saw that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. So his resurrection fulfilled both the Passover and the first fruit. So he becomes the second Adam. Praise God. So Jesus becomes the second Adam. So the first Adam was a dead soul, while the second Adam was a living soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus, his resurrection fulfills both the Passover and the first fruit, proving he is the first to rise from the dead. He is the first to rise from the dead and never to die again. He is the first to die, to rise from the dead and never to die again. Praise God. Now, as we proceed to dig more deeper in this Easter matter, because this is an Easter week, the whole world. So that's why I choose this particular topic, so that we can deal with it for proper understanding. So we found out that this Easter originates from the word Easter. This Easter originates from the word we call, they call Ishtar. So it is a pagan goddess of fertility, I've already said. Praise the Lord. So it is not in the Bible. You can't get it anywhere in the Bible. So in the original script, in the original manuscript, you can only see this in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. That is the old King James, where it was translated to Easter. While the original word in that manuscript is Passover. It has nothing to do with Easter. Praise God. So it involves symbols. So this celebration of Easter involves symbols like eggs and rabbits. So we ask ourselves, what does rabbits and the eggs has to do with the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? So when Jesus was crucified or he was buried, was he buried alongside with eggs? Was he buried alongside with rabbits? So why are they including all these things in the death, resurrection, in the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? These are some of the things we need to ask. We need to wake up and start asking questions, so that we'll not put ourselves into all this pagan way of worshiping their evil gods and all that. So, which has no connection. So, this involvement of eggs and rabbits has no connection to Christ's death and the resurrection. So the early church never celebrated Easter. They remembered his death and the resurrection weekly. That is weekly. So especially on the first day, which is written in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 4. So what the early Christians did, what they celebrate or what they remember is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They do it weekly, not once in a year, like the church world are doing it today. They said that this either in the month of April or in the month of March, they will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No. So that one they are celebrating is their God or their goddess Easter. We, the believers, we, the bride of Jesus Christ, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ every week, every Sunday, every day. Supposed to be every day in our life. As we keep on living our life, we keep on celebrating the resurrection, the power the Lord has given to believers. Praise the Lord. The Satan's subtitled infiltration infiltrated this Satan infiltrated this evil doctrine into the church today, into the world church today, which we couldn't see in the early apostles or in the early disciples. So he, by replacing Passover and the first fruit with Easter, so he replaced Passover, he removed the Passover that we are known, that was known by the apostles. He removed it and they placed Easter there. When the Roman Empire merged the state church with the Roman Empire, with the Papal Rome. So that's when they incorporated Easter into the church. It was not there, praise God. So the enemy has led many into pagan tradition, masked with Christian labels. So the enemy, which devil, which is smart, that subtle demon, Satan subtlety, Satan subtle infiltration into the church of God had led many believers, even sincere believers, into pagan traditions that was masked, that was covered with Christian labels. So all of them bears Christian name, but the spirit is demonic evil spirit they are serving. Praise the Lord. Spirit does not die. So we should remember that. So celebrating Easter instead of the biblical resurrection obscures the prophetic timeline and it distorts God's appointed feast. So if we keep on using the word Easter, we must know who we are calling. How can you attach the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with this demonic evil goddess? So how does it look like? You say, we are having an Easter convention. Then in that convention, you'll be mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. You'll be preaching the things about the kingdom. But in your logo, in your labels, you put Easter convention. So you find ignorance of the meaning of the word Easter. Or you pretended that you don't understand what that word really means. We need to wake up. God bless you. So another thing we see that the resurrection of Christ fulfilled the Passover, as I've said earlier, and the first fruit, not the pagan holiday. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not fulfill the pagan holiday, as we call it today, Easter. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not fulfill the pagan holiday. So what we are seeing today is pagan holiday. It has nothing to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is our Passover lamb, sacrificed to deliver us from death. He was sacrificed to deliver us from the threat of death so that we will die no more. We will die no more. Immediately we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as our Lord and personal Savior, certainly we shall die no more. So Jesus is the Passover lamb which was sacrificed to deliver us from death, and his resurrection on the first fruits guarantees eternal life to all who believe in him. His resurrection on the first fruit guarantees eternal life to all who believe in Jesus Christ. So Easter is a man-made festival rooted in paganism. Easter as a word is a man-made festival rooted in paganism. It is not in the scripture. And it is not in the original manuscript. I want you to mark that. It is not in the original manuscript. So wherever you see it in the Old King James, that is a mistranslation. It is not in the original manuscript. So it is not in the scripture and must be discerned and avoided by believers who seek the truth. Praise the Lord. So for believers who seek the truth. So believers must not mix light with darkness. Believers must not mix light with darkness. That's what the Bible told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 17. The name may be Christianized. They may Christianize Easter as if Easter now is a Christian name, is a Christian thing, but the spirit remains pagan. So I want you to remember that. So no matter how they try to Christianize the word Easter, bring it, make it for people not to be careful to ask questions about its originality or what is the even meaning? What is the meaning? Every name has a meaning. Why are we not even asking what is the meaning of this particular name? So when it reached there, the spirit of religion will blind our eyes not to ask that question. Praise the Lord. So now let's look at some of the translations, the biblical translations, how they translated that particular Acts chapter 12, verse 4, to see other biblical translations on the word Passover. So let's look at New King James Version, because in the old King James, they made that mistake to put Easter there. So in the New King James, they corrected it. So let's see what the New King James says. So in New King James, we saw that particular place, that's Acts chapter 12, verse 4. It says, in the New King James Version, it said, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. That is Acts chapter 12, verse 4. It said, intending, that is in the New King James Version. So the mistake they made in the old King James, they corrected it in the New King James Version, knowing fully well that the Israelite or the Jews or the disciples has no connection with that dirty word called Easter. Praise God. So he said, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Now let's look at New International Version, how it translated it. Now, New International Version said, Herod intended to bring him out for the public trial after the Passover. It didn't say Easter. So Easter and Passover are not the same at all. So now let's look at English Standard Version, what it says in that Acts chapter 12, verse 4. It said, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. That is English Standard Version. Now let's look at New American Standard Version. New American Standard Version said, after the Passover, then they will bring him out to kill. That was concerning Peter. When Peter was in the prison, they said after the Passover. But in the old King James, it said after Easter. So I want you to be marking all those things. Praise the Lord. Even in the old Catholic translation, they call Douay-Rheims translation of the Catholic Bible. That one also translated it as after the Pascha, which is the Passover. The Greek word Pascha, so which is the Passover, then they will bring Peter out to be killed. So all these versions faithfully render the original intent and the context of Acts Apostle chapter 12, verse 4. Praise the Lord. So I want us to understand that. So the old King James used Easter. That was in the 16th century. That is 1611. So we are walking there. We are walking in a time when the term Easter had already entered inside the church. The Papal Rome and the state church had already emerged for a long time before that particular translation was made. So it becomes part of their celebration, thinking that it is just normal, but it was not. So it becomes a vernacular in England, but their choice was inconsistent. So their choice of use of that word was inconsistent because it was only in that particular place it was used. So in the same Greek word, Pascha is used 29 times. Please, I want you to give me your time. This thing I'm teaching is very important for us believers. So the same Greek word, Passover or Pascha, it was used 29 times in the New Testament. And in the King James correctly translated it as what? Passover in other 29 cases. Praise the Lord. Other portions of the Bible, King James correctly translated as Passover. It is only in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. That's where King James made that mistake. But other 29 places in the King James old translation version, the translators were able to put Passover in their right places. It's only in that Acts chapter 12, verse 4. So let us get it right. Praise the Lord. And that happened because of religious and the cultural influence in England at that time. Praise God. So now we need to learn how to separate We need to learn how to separate all these things away from what we do so that we will not contaminate ourselves with all these pagan festivals. Praise the Lord. Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's what the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, he said, have no fellowship. We must have no fellowship. We must not interwoven the evil name to the celebration of our risen Christ. We need to wake up and remove this evil name from our celebrations, from our logos, or whatever we may try to write tomorrow. Let's begin to celebrate our Jesus Christ without attaching this demonic evil name called Easter. Now let's look again in the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 2. It said, learn not the ways of the heathen. That was the advice Jeremiah was given in Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 2. It said, learn not the ways of the heathen. So celebration of Easter, using Easter as a word, is the way of the heathen. So the Bible said, learn not the ways of the heathen. We can't call ourselves the bride of Jesus Christ, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. We keep on using those words. We need to wake up. So we must avoid all this issue of happy Easter greetings, which promote spiritual compromise. You come out, I'm not celebrating Easter. A brother or a sister in the denomination will say, oh, brother, happy Easter. You say, oh, happy Easter to you. What are you saying? You born again? You believe, you a Christian that is filled with the Holy Spirit, and you say, happy Easter, happy Easter. So it simply means you have not really understand the real meaning of Easter. So you when you say happy Easter, what you are trying to say, happy demonic God celebration. Let me translate it for you. When you say happy Easter, what you are saying, happy demonic evil God's celebration. Because the name Easter is a demonic goddess of fertility. So you say happy demonic evil celebration. I want you to get that clear. So one devil shorten it for us, we should not be blind. Let's wake up. Tomorrow now, unbelievers, Christians, and the denominations will see on the day, say, oh, brother, happy Easter. You say also, happy Easter to you. Carelessly, we use those words. We thought there's no meaning in those words. We need to wake up. So it is called, we are promoting spiritual compromise. So when we do that, when we return back, oh, happy Easter to them, when they say, brother, happy Easter, you say, oh, sister, happy Easter, that is, we are promoting spiritual compromise. We need to wake up to this truth. So we must teach our children the difference. We must teach our congregations the truth of Christ's resurrection, not pagans' fables. We must teach them the truth about the resurrection, not pagans' stories they have inculcated into the midst of the Christendom. So we must celebrate the victory of Christ, not the victory of Easter. We brand Easter and we have Christ in mind. That is spiritual compromise. So we must celebrate the victory of Christ, his resurrection, the victory of the resurrection, not the adulterous heritage of Babylon. The word Easter you see today, it is being celebrated in Babylon during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. During the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he was able to build the eighth gate. It is called the eighth gate in Babylon. That eighth gate was dedicated for the Easter, the goddess of Easter, this demonic evil goddess. So the same Easter Nebuchadnezzar celebrated and donated the eighth gate in Babylon. That gate, it is called the eighth gate in Babylon. It was written in the eighth gate, the Eastern gate. Easter was celebrated in Babylon. And the same Easter, Christians are still celebrating today. So did Jesus die in Babylon? Did Jesus go to Babylon? So why are we doing all these mistakes? Why can't we wake up and celebrate hedonisms and celebrate paganisms? All these pagan holidays, pagan heritage, we need to celebrate, separate it from the celebration of the risen Christ. So that is what I want you to understand today. We must wake up as believers and know that resurrection is not about burnings or eggs. It's about deliverance from sin and deliverance from death. So that's what I want you to understand. Let us understand what we are celebrating and able to separate the evil name from the resurrection of our loving Jesus Christ. So when we clearly understand these things, we will be able to hold firm to the power of our faith, not holding to rituals and pagan celebrations. So we must be able to confront all this religious mixture. It is called religious mixture. We must be able to confront it. That's why I took my time to present this to our lovely brethren. So we must be able to confront this religious mixture. Many are being trapped in the churches, even the end time message, even the restored bride. Most of us are still being trapped in this religious mixture. I want you to get it clear. It is called religious mixture. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our logo, we put their Easter celebration. What that will Easter? Can't we read the meaning to words? Can't we read the meaning to words? Or we just decide to find ignorance? Or do you think that if Jesus is here, he would do the same? Please, let's learn to confront all this religious mixture, because our Jesus does not want mixture. God is not a mixture. Either you are with him or you are not with him. That's why he was rebuking them in the book of Mark 7:7. He said that, in vain do you worship me. Why? Because they brought mixture. They brought tradition and add it with the word of God. Jesus said, no. I don't want mixture. In verse 8, he said, they put away the commandments of God so that they will uphold their own traditions. So that's what the Bible says. So we need to wake up so that we will be able to stand with the word of God, stand with Jesus, and we will be blessed. So I want you to wake up and to understand that we are the children of the Lord. We need to maintain our individual identity in our Lord Jesus Christ, not in the pagan custom. We should not maintain our identity in the pagan customs, but we must maintain our identity in the risen Christ. He has done a lot for us. He has delivered us. He has given us hope for resurrection, and we shall die no more. Where the fear of death is no more with us, the threat of sin, the threat of death, the threat of sickness, he has given us all the whole victory, and he said, it is finished. He said, go and sin no more. So we are no more afraid. So he has been buried and he has been resurrected. So our fears are buried and the death has been conquered and he has given us victory. So I want you to be in the mode of prayer as I pray for you now. So as you begin to think about few things we have learned, and some of the things I've been pointed fingers upon, so that the Lord will begin to speak to your heart. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see what you have for me. Open my eyes, touch my eyes. Touch my understanding. Reveal yourself. I need a divine encounter of who you are to understand. Help me to separate every religious mixture, because our God is not a mixer. He does not want mixer. He doesn't want to mix with anything. The word of God must be word of God. It is unadulterated word of God. When you adulterate it, it is no more valid. And they have adulterated it by bringing Easter, a bigger demonic evil celebration, or the celebration of the risen Christ. Father, may you help us today. May the power of the Holy Spirit rest upon the listeners, upon the hearers, with the patience of the people who endure to listen to this message to the end. May the power of the Holy Ghost rest upon your children. May you inspire us. May you speak to us. May you endorse your people. Endorse us. Endorse our visions. Endorse our faith with you. Glory be with you. Let the sick be healed this morning. Let the oppressed be delivered this morning. Let the brokenhearted be amended this morning. Let he that is looking for job receive that job. Let he that is looking for promotion receive that promotion. Let the person that is depressed, let him be uplifted. Oh, let the poor become rich. Oh, my Father, King of Kings, and let the rich go out to give alms to the helpless. Glory be to your majesty. Thank you, precious Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.